I sent Kathy the bulletin information, the title of the sermon today is All Kinds of Stuff. You notice she didn't put anything in the bulletin, so I think she assumed that I was just going to talk about all kinds of stuff. So anyway, I'm not sure what went through her mind, but I kind of suspect that's what went through her mind. But I want us to turn to Matthew, the 13th chapter. And you know, when I find something new that I haven't noticed in the Bible before, I like to share it. I hope you feel the same way, right? And I was reading something that gave me a different understanding of one of the parables that I had not really looked at very closely before. And you remember, we went through the parables, 2 years ago? We went through a lot of the parables. And I didn't deal with this one, because I didn't see it as having, didn't really see where it fit in, but I think I have a little better understanding now. Matthew 13, verses 47 through 50. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels and threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age, the angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire, and there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now, if Jesus were to preach the sermon in the church on Sabbath, what would his opening words be? Have you ever thought about that? Would he say, my purpose is to investigate the nature of the kingdom of God with particular interest in the nature of the Greco-Roman Empire and utilization of Jewish tradition, etc., etc.? Would that be Jesus? No, he gets real, doesn't he? He gets right down and he gets real. Now, you know, if he said something like that, those that had big degrees in theological understanding might appreciate that. And even those of us that, you know, don't have that little extra bit of learning might appreciate that rather than the fact that Jesus gets real and deals with issues on the heart level. Amen. You might say he calls a spade in the vernacular. And so the parable begins, the kingdom of God is like. How many parables can you think of that begin the kingdom of God is like? Many. Most of them, right? Many of them. Probably most. I haven't sat down and counted, but there's a number of them that way. And so what is the kingdom of God like exactly? Well, it's described in different ways. But if we look particularly at Matthew 13, and we're not going to look at all the parables, there are seven parables in Matthew 13. You have the parable of the wheat and tares. You have the parable of the mustard seed. Again, like the kingdom of heaven. You have the parable of the yeast or leaven and bread. You have the parable of the tares being explained. You have the parable of the hidden treasure. And then you have the parable of the pearl of great price. And it ends with the pearl of the dragnet. See, Jesus begins by how the kingdom is given. A sower does what? Goes forth to sow. And I don't know if you've ever seen anybody broadcasting by hand. I've seen it in different places. But a parable that a farmer goes forth to sow, and that is how it is given. And then it shows how it operates with you, the wheat and the tares doing what? They're growing together, as much as we may not like that. And then you have the parable of the mustard seed. How is the kingdom of heaven? It can start in the very smallest, almost invisible bit of something and grow into a large thing. How is the kingdom of God acquired? A treasure hidden in the field. And what does it take to get that treasure? Everything. Everything. Total commitment. And then how is it acquired? The pearl of great price. What did it take to get the pearl of great price? Everything. And then how will it be consummated at the end of the age? And then we get to the parable of the dragnet, pulling their net to shore. So these parables illustrate how the kingdom is given, how it operates, how it's acquired, and how it will be consummated. And if we look at the whole series there, then this last parable begins to make more sense. And it's made more sense as I looked at it in this new light. Now, of all of the parables in this chapter, this is probably the least familiar. And then that's odd because it's the climax of this series of parables. And it's what Jesus has to say. And some people say, well, this is sort of anticlimactic after the other ones. All the other parables end on a positive note. But the parable of the fishing net concludes with weeping and gnashing of teeth. Why such a difference in such a really upbeat series of parables? So let's look again at this. Now in Jesus' time, and you'll see the same thing happening in different areas of the world where you know, they're still doing things by hand and without power tools and so forth. There's two kinds of nets. And one is the kind of casting net, and you get on the Gulf Coast right now, you'll see hobby fishermen fishing for shrimp now with one of these nets. It's a round net, it's got weights on it. They throw it out, it spreads out, drops down to the bottom, and then as they pull it up, the weights come together, and whatever's in there is what they caught. And that's a net that is very frequently used now even still, and it was called a casting net, or, let me see if I can get this right, amphibolstron, or dictuon. And when a fisherman would see a small shoal of fish, he would fling this net out, it would sink, and then it would pull up the net, the fish would come with it. And this is not the kind of net Jesus is talking about. He's talking about another kind of net, one that's referred to by sanging, or a dragnet. And this was pulled behind a boat or spread between two boats, or as it is done many times, you can have just people wading in the water. And at the end is a cone shape, and as the fish swim, they swim towards the middle, and ideally capturing the shoal of fish, but as you drag it along, you're going to capture some other things also. And it's this kind of net that Jesus talks about, comparing it to the kingdom of God. So exactly what does the kingdom image of a fisherman using a dragnet tell us about God's kingdom? Now remember, Jesus specifically used this type of net. He could have used any other kind, but he talked about this very specifically. And as you may guess, a dragnet is going to catch everything in its path. It catches all kinds of fish. It catches the good, the bad, the ugly, the nasty, the dead, the alive, and brings them all together. But even a dragnet's even more indiscriminate than that, because it does not just catch fish. It catches anything and everything that it comes across. And this is where some versions of the Bible kind of lead astray, because if you look at the text closely, fish are not mentioned in that passage. Not once does it say fish. The kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind. Some of every kind of what? Every kind of anything that was there. Vegetable, animal, mineral. Some of every kind. And when they sat down, verse 48, they threw the bad what? Of every kind away. So we find that it doesn't say catch all kinds of fish. It says that it catches every kind or all sorts. Obviously, you know, you use a dragnet to catch fish, right? That's your original purpose, is to catch the fish. I think that's understood. But just off the coast of Great Britain in the last few years, fishermen have caught up in the net a World War II torpedo with 220 pounds of explosives on it. They have pulled up 400 pounds of cannabis, otherwise known as pot, worth over $2 million. And perhaps most remarkable of all, they were fishing off of the coast of England, and they pulled up a scuba diver and his wife who had been scuba diving off the coast of England. That would be an interesting catch in the net, wouldn't it? I guess that's literally fishers of men. So anyway, Jesus is saying they caught all kinds of stuff. And then he says, this is just like the kingdom of heaven. And you may say, whoa, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Now, if you've read the Gospel of Matthew, you shouldn't be surprised by this. Jesus, at the beginning of his ministry, said, I will make you what? Fishers of men. And in this parable of fishing nets, the crowds are surround him, and Jesus is looking out over the crowd, and he has seen all kinds of people. Think about it just a minute. In that crowd, Matthew speaks, as you go through the book of Matthew, people that listen to Jesus. Pharisees and Sadducees, paralytics, people from Galilee, Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond Jordan, Roman centurions, scribes, teachers of the Torah, rulers of the synagogue, ostracized women, and blind men. All of those had conversations with Jesus in the book of Matthew. And plus, you have those whose interest in the kingdom of God was like a passing fad. Others who would soon be sneering at Jesus when their friends made fun of them. Some who were too busy getting on in life and earning a living to make a commitment. And those who committed themselves to the kingdom day in and day out for the rest of their lives. I don't know if you've ever stopped to think about the disciples. I hope you have. But among Jesus' disciples, we have all kinds of stuff. You know that? Among the disciples, you have Matthew the tax collector and Roman sympathizer. You have Simon the zealot, who before would easily have stuck a dagger in Matthew's side because of his apostasy to the Jewish religion, or nation, if you will. You have Judas, who would betray him, Peter, who would deny him, Thomas, who was famous for his doubting, James and John, the sons of thunder, all kinds of stuff. All kinds of stuff. I hope that makes you think a little bit. What of a church called to teach and preach and live among the world? Are there any differences among us? Differences of opinion, differences on what the church's mission is, difference on doctrine like revelation and inspiration, differences of opinion on how to deal with differences of opinion. I mean, and praise God, we're all slowly being pulled to the shore in his big net. All kinds of stuff. And perhaps it's worth clarifying one point. This parable, I believe, is not talking about the world so much as it is talking about God's church. Let me share with you just a brief quote from Christ's Object Lessons. The casting of the net, commenting on this parable, is the preaching of the gospel. This gathers both good and evil, where? Into the church. Did you hear that? This gathers both good and evil where? Into the church. So the act of fishing with a dragnet is likened to the kingdom because the world has a lot of different types in it, so does the church. There's all kinds of stuff. You know, I sometimes have been tempted to judge this stuff. And I had a particular person that I baptized one time that I thought, well, this is one of the ones that's just going to be a piece of junk. In the context of this parable, in my mind, this person was soon going to leave the church. But we're sent to baptize. God takes care of the rest, right? Amen. You know what? She had a conversion experience a year later. Her husband was baptized. They went to a different place and started a church and were the founders of a church. Amen. Because God used the stuff. And it wasn't my wisdom or my ability, but it was the dragnet of God's kingdom. So there's different kinds of stuff in the kingdom, because the kingdom should remain indiscriminate. Now, I'm not saying that in the sense that we shouldn't hold standards and so forth, but I mean we should not be judging as God judges. So we find in the first parable, the sower, how is the seed scattered? When some falls on the hard ground, does he go and pick it up and run it over to the... Some falls on the rocks, does he pick it up and run it over there? No. He scatters indiscriminately in an untargeted way. The sower is indiscriminate. He scatters seed all over the place. He makes no distinction between the footpath, the rocky soil, the thorn, or the fertile ground. The seed falls on all kinds of soil, just like the net brings all kinds of stuff. And the fishermen trawl through the lake. They catch indiscriminately all kinds of stuff. And that's what the kingdom is like. Like a sower scattering seed everywhere, or a dragnet capturing everything. Well, now what do we do about all this stuff that's in the net? Have you ever thought about that? That's where another of Christ's seven parables of the kingdom helps us. The parable of the wheat and tares. A parable that some of us, quite frankly, if we'll be honest, are not comfortable with. Because, you know, we're like the helper sometime. Lord, can we go rip them out? Remember, Jesus is the one that told this parable, not Pastor DeWitt. Okay? Lord, do we go rip them out? And the Lord says what? Let them grow together. Now, if you've heard that parable before, you understand that the tares that were planted were a weed called darnel that looked a whole lot like wheat as it was coming up, and it got to a certain point you could tell this was wheat and this was darnel. And so if you go and you rip up the darnel, what are you going to do with the wheat? You're going to pull it up also. And so the Lord says, let it grow. Let the angels take care of the problem. And that comes when? At the end of the world. In other words, be patient. You know, the bad thing about patience is there's only one way to get it. Right? And that's to experience things that you don't want to be patient. You know, so many of us say, Lord, give us patience and give it to us right now. But sometimes our impatience does more harm than good. And we're here about God's business. If we're here about God's business, can God take care of his business, brothers and sisters? Amen. Amen. Thank you. Now, the harvest has not arrived yet. And you know what? When that harvest comes, some of those things we thought are tares are actually going to be wheat. Because we haven't paid a close enough attention. And some of those things that we were just sure were wheat are going to turn out to be tares. That's why I'm glad God's in charge of that. Amen? Amen. Not Pastor DeWitt. I would not want that responsibility. In the meantime, what do? We keep on fishing. How? Not with a rod and reel, but with a what? A drag net, pulling everything in. And when the final judgment takes place, the angels, as we go back to the parable of the wheat and tares, will take care of casting out the real junk and keeping that which is good. Now, you know, I don't think that Jesus wasted his time when he was telling this parable. If the parable didn't mean something, I don't think Jesus would have said it, and I don't think Matthew would have recorded it. As a matter of fact, if you go to verse 51, and Jesus said to them, have you understood all these things? And they said, yes, Lord. No, they didn't. They thought they did. They may have had a glimmer, but they didn't understand. How do I know their actions prove them wrong later on? You understand? And he said to them, therefore every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out old treasure of his treasure things new and old. Jesus is saying in these parables, I've given you things that you've known, and I'm adding new things to them. I'm adding new things to them. The kingdom has all kinds of stuff. Now this kingdom, this parable, excuse me, speaks to people who are simply satisfied with diversity. Oh, we've got a lot of stuff in the church, therefore we're a good church. Now, that's not what it says, is it? If you read the parable carefully, to those who believe in God and have faith, what does this say? Now, some may say, well, the more inclusive we are, the better. There's a church whose motto is open hearts, open minds. I'm not going to call any names. You may have seen it. Which is good as long as your mind is open to truth and not open to error. And open hearts always and forever, I would hope. But if we look at the end of this parable in verse 50, 49 and 50, the angels will come forth. Who will come forth? The angels will come forth, separating the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire, and there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now do you see how the parable is giving us both sides of the story? Everything is swept into the church. It is the angels who discriminate between what is good and what is not. Because we do not have the spiritual knowledge. We do not have the foresight. We do not have the ability to read people's hearts and motives that God has. As we look at the differences we may have, I pray that we will recognize that God's net goes far and wide. And you know what? When that net comes in, there's going to be some people in that net that love the Lord with all their heart. There's going to be some people in that net that are excited about being there at first, and then they drift off. That's what the parable of the sower tells us, doesn't it? There's going to be some people who would be willing to give their life for the Lord. On the other hand, there's going to be some people that will come in and they'll turn away and they'll turn against everything that all that stood for. And they may end up promoting atheist propaganda or going against the church or whatever. But where we are right now, we can't see that. God can. It's His net. It's His church. It's His angels that take care of that. If you had known Paul before he met Jesus, would you have thrown him out with the garbage or would you have kept him? Think about it. If you had known Peter before Pentecost, would you say there's no hope for this guy? Or would you put him on the save list? What about Simon the Zealot, who was trained as an assassin and was sworn to go against the enemies of Israel? Surely he shouldn't be there. He gave his life for Jesus Christ. We're told that every one of the apostles did except for John. And it wasn't because they didn't try to get John. Matthew, he was a tax collector. How much lower can you get? He was a collaborator with the enemy. It was Matthew who clearly wrote of his beloved Savior. John, how would you like to be known as a son of thunder? I mean, if you were signing up for, you know, descriptions of your character, would that be the first one you would pick? I don't think so. Became what? The beloved disciple. The disciple who Jesus what? Loved. All kinds of stuff. James, first to give his life for his Lord. As I have studied this parable, I want to remind myself and share with you, God is judge. And I will say to myself, this is His kingdom. We can trust Him with it. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just never cease to be amazed at your word. Lord, help it to become part of our life. Help it to become our passion. And Lord, help it through your Holy Spirit to change our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing hymn is 367.